I hope all of you have had a chance to sign up for the 40 days of prayer that begins today. And you should have already, if you have signed up, you should have already received an email. If you have not signed up, I'm going to go ahead and put in the chat the link for you to go ahead and sign up for the 40 days of prayer. This is something that the Alliance, the Christian Missionary Alliance that we are part of our denomination, is organizing for us. They've done all the hard work, which is great. And that begins today, January 3rd, 40 days of prayer. And we are joining by doing this. Not only are we doing it together as a church, but we are joining with Alliance folk from all over the nation as well as the world. And to know that we're doing this together is, I think, really powerful and really significant, because it's not just us. It's not just us in this little corner of Georgia, but it's but all over. And for those of you I know who are signing, I just saw the Pozos, you get to join us too. So we're going to be doing this 40 days of prayer. And like I said, the chat has the link. If you have signed up, you should have already received the first email. You might need to look in your junk folder. I had to look in my promotions folder for it. It's coming from Terry Smith. So make sure you find that email. And in that email, you will find, you can choose English, Spanish, or Chinese, which I think is phenomenal. They've made it available in those three languages. And then from there, you can choose whether you need the adult, the youth, or the kid version. And when you connect on, you will find devotions for every day. So a reading for every day that have been written by Alliance people. So it's both those who are pastors, missionaries, Alliance leaders, and some of you may recognize some of those names as you see who the devotions are written by. And also they have some videos and some resources. So I think it's gonna be really significant, really powerful. To be able to do this together, the 40 days of prayer. 40 days. Now, I began wondering, you know, what is so special about 40? And what is the deal with 40? I know we see it in the Bible a lot, but I thought, you know, I'm going to do some extensive research and find out what's so important about 40. So I did a Google search. It wasn't that extensive. And here's some interesting facts about the number 40. Okay, you ready? 40 is the only number in English where when you spell it out, the letters are in alphabetical order. Now, did anybody know that before? You will win at Trivial Pursuit with that piece of information. F-O-R-T-Y, the only number that is in alphabetical order. Minus 40 degrees Celsius and Fahrenheit are the same. That's an unusual thing. So that happens to be true for 40. Negative 40, it's the same. All right, this one I find very interesting. When the bubonic plague gripped Europe during the Middle Ages, ships would be isolated in the harbor for 40 days before the passengers could go ashore. The Italian word for 40 is quaranta, which is where we get the word quarantine. Aha. Now, fascinating, right? Okay. A typical pregnancy lasts 40 weeks. So we usually say 9 months, but it's actually 40 weeks. It took chemists 40 tries to develop the magical spray we know as WD-40. It's the 40th attempt. WD is water displacement formula 40, WD-40. So fascinating, right? 40. There's another fascinating 40 information. Standard work week is 40 hours. 40 is the highest number that they count to on Sesame Street. Again, Trivial Pursuit, you will be a master. 40 is the highest number. Our skin cells, on average take 40 days to renew. So if you've got some kind of blemish on your skin that, you know, is going to be renewing, it's going to take about 40 days for that to happen. Personal trainers, psychologists, and coaches will tell you that it takes between 30 and 40 days, give or take a few, to retrain yourself into a new habit. So if you want to develop a new habit, you want to count on between 30 and 40 days, plan on it taking around 40 days for that routine to get ingrained into your life. 40 days, which I think is why 40 days is so important, because it takes that long for things to happen and for things to transform. Pregnancies are, you know, 40 days for our skin and for different, for our habits. 40 days shows up in the Bible a lot. Noah's life was transformed by 40 days of rain. Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai and came back a different person. The spies, the 12 spies that were sent into the promised land, were there for 40 days. David was transformed. He listened to Goliath's challenge for 40 days. I think we missed that part of the story. The city of Nineveh was transformed in 40 days. Took them 40 days to repent when Jonah was there to tell them that they needed to, or God was going to destroy them. They did that in 40 days. Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, in the desert, before he began his ministry. And he spent 40 days with his disciples after the resurrection and before he ascended into heaven. 40 days is significant when it comes to this idea of transformation. And that's what I want us to talk about today, transformation. That's what we saw in that list that I just gave us from the Bible, as well as the coaches and personal trainers. We need 40 days for things to change in our life. Transformation, change, anything that goes from bad to good is that transformation. The idea of metamorphosis is that change that happens when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, when a tadpole becomes a frog. Metamorphosis, that change is significant. And we're talking about the change that goes from bad to good. We know the transformation that happens the other way, but this is what we want, is we want the bad to become good, anger to become peace, confusion to become clarity, sickness to be health, despair to be joy, enmity to become love. I think you get the idea. We're talking about a transformation from what is bad and what is wrong to what is good and to what is right. And we, all people, all humanity, I believe, is really drawn to transformation. And I see that present in the TV shows that are popular. You know, think about all of the renovation shows that are out there. The ugly house now becomes the house that everybody wants. The ugly person is transformed into something, in someone beautiful. I think you get the idea, that idea of what is ugly becoming beautiful, or what is undesirable becoming desirable. Because those shows are so popular, I think it's because we are all hungry for transformation. And isn't that what New Year's resolutions are really all about? It's seeing something in our lives that we don't like, that we want to see changed. We are very poor eaters. We want to be more healthy as we eat. We're a slug sitting on the couch. We want to be exercising more. Those transformations are what New Year's resolutions are all about. And as we know, the statistics say that by February, most of those New Year's resolutions have been lost. That's because, you know, it was 40 days. They forgot the 40-day rule. So that's our challenge as we enter into these 40 days. And we have before us the opportunity for transformation. And so this is what I want your pen and paper for. I want you to give some time. We're going to give some time. I'm going to give us a bit of silence here. And I want you to think about what is something in your life. You may have already made your New Year's resolution, but what is something in your life that you want to see transformed? Something that a default maybe that you have. You know that when push comes to shove, your default is anger, or your default is despair, or your default is withdrawing, and you know that that's not right and that's not good. You want to see that transformed. Maybe it's a temptation that you find yourself continually struggling with, or something is a habit that you just wish wasn't a part of you. So what I want you to do on that piece of paper, and give it some thought, and I want you to keep this individual for yourself. We'll talk about other people later, but for yourself, what is something, what's the bad? That's the first thing I want you to write down. What's the bad? What's the thing that you want to see changed? And then what does it look like when it's good? What does it change into? So what's the bad? Bad is anger. The bad is temptation, being tempted by this one thing. The good is peace, you know, versus anger, or succeeding in not meeting that temptation, you know, those kind of ideas. So I'm just going to take a minute of quiet. I want you to write down what you want to see transformed in your life as we do these 40 days. Okay, here we go. There's a minute of quiet. Okay, I hope you've all had a chance to give some good thought to that. Now, I want you to think, remember I said we were gonna now think of other people. I think immediately when we talk about transformation, someone else comes to mind. And so I wanna give us some time to think about maybe 1 to 3 people that you want to commit to pray for in these next 40 days, and you want to see transformation happen in their lives. You see what they struggle with. You see what their default is that you know is not good for them and is something that they even themselves have admitted they want to see changed. So 1 to 3 people, I'm going to give again just a little bit of quiet. Write down on your list. And let's keep it at 3 because I know some of us can have a really long list, but I want you to kind of hone in. And listen to Holy Spirit. What is Holy Spirit? Who has Holy Spirit want to assign you with in these next 40 days? And so the same thing, what's the bad? What's the good? And let's take some time and write down those names and as we think about the transformation we want to see happen in their lives. Okay, again, just a little bit of quiet. The reason that I'm encouraging you to write these things down is that there is something that happens when we take pen to paper, pencil to paper, and we write down what we want to see happen. I think it's a piece of commitment, or it's something that just says, this is something we want to pay attention to. We want to give some attention to. And the other thing that can really help when you want to see transformation is some accountability and some sharing. Some of you are part of a prayer triad. These are things that prayer triads that we set up, I think it was about mid-October going into November. 3 people who are just committing to praying together regularly, whatever that regularly looks like is up to the group. But I want to, if you're part of a prayer triad, I want to encourage you to share these things in your prayer triad as we go through these next 40 days. And as your triad, pray for these things together. And also, if you would like to be part of a prayer triad, you're not now, but you would like to be, go ahead and you can send me a notice in the chat, or you can send me an email or a text. And just let me know that this is something you would like to be a part of, and I can put you in a group together. But praying together with other people can make such a huge difference in seeing transformation happen. And the accountability of that, the encouragement that comes from praying together, it can be really, really significant. So for these 40 days, having people to pray with, we will be praying together on Wednesday at 2 p.m. That's when we do our Zoom call. And this is something else. If that time doesn't work for you, but you would like to be part of a larger prayer group, again, send me an email, send me a chat, send me a text, and let me know. And we can maybe look at setting up another time that might be more conducive to your schedule. So we want to make those opportunities to pray together happen. So, but we need to know what those times are. So, you know, certainly let me know if you want to be part of that. So we're going to be praying together through these 40 days as well as praying individually. But let's go back to this idea of transformation. Here's the difficulty. Transformation on our own is nearly impossible. At the most, it's very, very, very difficult. And deep down transformation, the transformation that we've been talking about, you know, the ones where we know it's something inside of us that we want to see transformed, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has to do, God has to do that work in us. We're going to spend the next few minutes with a story from the Bible that talks about transformation, and it's a story about transformation. It's transformation in the life of Isaiah, a prophet from the Old Testament, and let's see what it took for him to be transformed. This is Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Isaiah tells us of a vision that he had in which he encountered God and was changed. In thinking about how best to tell this story today, or how best to for us to kind of enter into this story, I'm going to have us do something a little different. And I want us to imagine together this vision. Imagination is something that God has put into us. It's part of his design. And I believe imagination is there to help us encounter the things that are bigger than we normally encounter, or are different from what we normally encounter. So I am going to ask us all to, for some of us to dust off that imagination, to pull it out maybe from the recesses, or if you like to imagine things and it's something that you enjoy doing, that's great. We're going to imagine together this vision, but knowing that the enemy wants to disrupt those things and can kind of mess with us a little bit, I'm going to ask Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. So would you pray with me as we ask him to kind of guard and protect our imaginations as we do this exercise together? Lord God, you have designed in us this lovely ability to see things bigger and more different than we normally encounter. And so I thank you for imagination, and I thank you for the ability to think through and to experience things in a way that you've helped us figure out, helped us to have designed. But we need you to guard us and guide us as we go through this process. We want to encounter you the way that Isaiah did in this amazing vision that he had. And so we just ask you to guard and protect, lead us and guide us, we pray. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. I want everyone to close your eyes. Even if you are on the Zoom call all by yourself, I want you to close your eyes. And what I want you to do is imagine the largest, biggest space that you can. This is a really, really big space, a grand space. Think of maybe a cathedral that you might have visited, or it could even be outside, a large amphitheater, something that is just really, really big, really, really big space, maybe with huge soaring windows that picture an outside landscape for you, soaring architecture. And then fill this space with incredible colors, maybe some beautiful tapestries, some stained glass, anything that brings color and life and energy into this space. It's, again, it's huge, huge, huge. Whatever it is, make it really, really big and really, really grand, just absolutely beautiful. And in the focal point of this space, something that begins to grab your attention is a throne. a huge throne. Maybe it's gold, maybe it's expertly carved wood, but this chair that is just enormous and it's filling the space, and you have to like put your head back in order to see the extent of it. It's just huge, huge. A throne belonging to maybe the grandest, most incredible kingdom on earth, in heaven even. And next to this throne is a large altar that is burning. What's it burning? I'm not sure, but what do you see burning? I'm picturing incense. I'm picturing just this incredible fire, and the smell is permeating the space. So there's light that you're seeing, there's beauty that you're seeing, there's smells that you're seeing, that you're smelling of incense burning. I'm imagining incense that is smelling like nothing I've ever encountered before. And then on this throne is the Lord, Lord God Almighty. And take a look at what, I mean, if you can even bear to stand to see him, he's wearing the most luxurious clothes, velvet and satins and fur. And it's just, and he has this train from that's cascading down from his robes that's filling this whole space, this huge space that you're imagining and that you're seeing. The train of his robe is filling this temple. And that's just speaking to the grandness and bigness of who he is and what's happening here. You almost can't look at it. It's so bright, and the colors, and there's jewels, and you know, just imagine the most grandest, largest robe that you can even begin to think of. One that takes multiple people to train, to pull and to move. But he is strong enough that he can just toss it around like a feather. Let some of the movies help you out of what this could possibly look like. So what are you feeling right now? What are you experiencing? What are you seeing? What is capturing your attention? What are you hearing? Let me tell you what you're hearing. There are these enormous creatures that are circling around the throne. They can fly. They've got six wings. Two of them they're flying with. Two of them they're covering their eyes, probably because the splendor is too great. Two of them they're covering their feet. I don't know, because maybe they feel the need to be hidden from this incredible thing that they're witnessing and participating. How many of them are there? There's multiple enormous creatures, and their voices are shouting out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory." They're shouting, and what do their voices sound like? What do their voices sound like? Well, I will tell you, they're very loud, so loud that the place is shaking. Thundering sound. Do you feel the ground shaking? And here, let me ask you a question. Why has God brought you to this place? Why are you experiencing this? Let me tell you what happened to Isaiah. "Woe to me," he cries. "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Isaiah is seeing just what we're seeing. We're seeing the Lord high and lifted up, expansive and grand and large and holy. Holy, holy, holy is what the creatures are saying. What happens next? Well, one of these creatures, the seraphim, they're called, they're angels. These enormous, loud, flying angels comes to Isaiah and comes to us with a live coal in his hand. And he touches it to our lips. Ouch, that hurts. It's really hot. And he says, "See, I have touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for." Just by the touch of that coal of the altar, what has been unholy in us and in Isaiah and in his sin has been cleansed and has been cleaned. And then we hear another voice. We thought the seraphim were loud. Here comes the voice of the Lord Almighty, and he says, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? What's your response? Isaiah's is, here am I, send me. The scripture has an exclamation point. Here am I, send me. The cowering, afraid Isaiah, who realizes his sin is so great that he cannot be in this place of all of the goodness and purity of God's holiness, is now someone who is excited and wants to see and wants to do what God would have him. Is that your response as well? Is that what's happening to you? How do you respond to encountering the grandness and greatness of God? I believe Isaiah has put this vision. You can open your eyes now. Actually, I should have had you open your eyes after I blow my nose. But Isaiah gave us this picture, I think, for a reason. And the reason I had us do this imagination exercise this morning is that so often we can read the words of scripture without encountering the experience. If you think about it, so much of scripture is recounting for us experiences that men and women have had with God or with the enemy or with have experiencing these encounters. I mean, think of the Psalms. The Psalms are expressions of an encounter, whether it's an encounter of seeing God or whether it's an encounter of saying, this is not right. I want to see this changed. And that's so much of the Psalms, so much of the Proverbs are that way too, of encountering something in the world and wanting to respond to it. So often I think we can get into the danger of just reading the words and not letting them affect us or not encountering them. But when you think about this particular experience, the holiness of God is something we must encounter every time we come into his presence. Every time we come to pray, every time we call upon God, we must remember that we are speaking to a holy God. And if you recall, the seraphim were saying, holy, holy, holy. They said it three times. Every time scripture says something three times, it basically means pay attention, all caps, exclamation points. Pay attention to this. This is something that needs to grab our attention, the holiness of God. Holy, holy, holy. God's holiness is what Isaiah experienced, and hopefully you experienced and I experienced in that just brief exercise that we did together, and it brought Isaiah to his knees. Holiness, this characteristic of being something totally pure, of so right and so good that nothing evil can be in the same space. That's why Isaiah cried out, woe is me, I'm destroyed. I am in trouble because I know I am a sinful person. And I am encountering, and I live among a sinful people, and I am encountering a God, a being that has no sin whatsoever. In fact, can't even be in the same space. And Isaiah's cry was, that will destroy me unless I am transformed. And that's what God does. He comes and he transforms. And that is our prayer emphasis for the 40 days of prayer. The holiness of God is our emphasis for this week. In the email that we received, there's a video that our president, John Stumbo, has done about the holiness of God. And I would like us to watch that briefly here together. So I'm going to go ahead and pull it up for us to watch. And here we go. Let me find it. All right, let's watch this together to see what John Stumbo has to say about the holiness of God and why it's our emphasis for this week.
Hello, Alliance family. I'm so glad you've joined us for our 40 days of prayer. Our theme is holiness this week. You're probably aware that we are looking at our statement of faith. And every time I pick that up, I have a sense of this holy task that I've been assigned for us to take a new look at that statement. Recently, I walked into our bedroom at home to grab something in the morning, and there my wife, with a tear streaming down her face, eyes closed, hands lifted to heaven, with the worship music playing, and I realized I had just walked into a holy moment, and I backed away quietly. In the book of Exodus, on the side of the mountain, Moses is given instruction to take four equal parts of fragrant spices and have a perfumer mix them together because there was to be this holy fragrance that was to be used at the tent of meeting alone. We have the concept of holiness because we have a...
Not sure what just happened there. Let me see if I can get it to start again.
...to be used at the tent of meeting alone. We have the concept of holiness because we have...
Oh, technology. It's great when it works. Let me reset this and see if we can watch it again. But basically, actually, let me just take it from there. I love that idea. We have a concept of holiness because we have a holy God. And what John Stumbo goes on to say is that holiness draws us and brings us to worship. And that that idea of holiness, that God is above and bigger than we encounter regularly, is that it draws us to worship. It draws us to say that there is something bigger than us. There's something more pure than we are. And it is our desire to honor that and to worship God because of his holiness. And what I would like us to do now is to do just that, is to spend some time in worship. As we have encountered this holy God, to respond to that. I've asked some people in our midst to read some scriptures for us that speak to the holiness of God and to what would draw us into worship him. And so let's begin. Carol Ann, if you would read your scripture for us. Go ahead and unmute and read. That would be great.
Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord for his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. 1 Chronicles 16:10-12.
Paul, would you read your scripture for us next?
Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak.
Gail, would you read your scripture?
Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Psalm 95 and 96.
Johnny, do you have your scripture there?
You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. O my strength, I sing praise to you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God. Revelation 4:11.
And then Vivian, would you read your scripture?
But I will sing of your strength. In the morning, I will sing of your love, for you are my fortress, my refugee in times of trouble. O my strength, I sing praise to you. You, O God, are my fortress, my loving God. Psalm 59:16-17.
And then let's sing this together. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, holy, Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which were and are and evermore shall be. And holy, holy, and holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, holy, Trinity. And right where you are, would you just lift up your own praise to God? Thank him for his holiness. Praise him for his holiness. Tell him what his holiness means to you right in this moment.